His words get sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to the book of Matthew chapter 7, 15th verse, winding down. I think the year is upon us. Greet the believers in Trinidad and wherever they will be in tonight. Lord will bless them. Pray for Brother Hine. He's on his way the next couple of hours or so to Cape Town. So the Lord will bless him and use him. I got a little note. I responded with Brother Gerald in Ghana. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless him there. And beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore you know them by... You shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. Amen. So you may be seated tonight. Lord bless reading of his word tonight. Pray that something will be said to encourage us. I don't want to go too much more into any area before the new year. And but we want to continue just with a little bit of thought. I was thinking about this breaking off and going into some Christmas messages and so forth, but I think you're all grown up. You know pretty much about it. I believe that you need to hold your balance. It's a time where you use the season to enjoy your family and enjoy your family, enjoy and make memories while the world is doing their thing. You can use it for your benefit, and so we know the root of it. Christmas is the worship of the tree and the sun god. And the tree, of course, as we come to know it, is the woman. And it's that woman worship, and the sun is the sun worship. And there you have Nimrod and Saramis. That has been the beginning of idolatry in the Garden of Eden, come through Genesis 11, and from there come from Baal, and has gone to every nation under the sun, under different language, different culture, but it's the self-same spirit. There's nothing new under the sun, and that is what has always been. And so we know that that's what it's the grove worship and the worship of the sun, and that's what sunrise service is all about. That's why, you know, we don't care too much for sunrise service. We want sunrise service Sunday morning, but we have to be careful. But sunrise service is tied with the worship of Tammuz. Amen. So there are a lot of things that Christians do, and sometimes they bring it over from the denomination into the message. But once the bride has been, you know, there's nothing can hide from her. No spirit can hide from her. Amen. And as we go on, we realize more and more that it's not the denomination is going to deceive us. It's our deception. Like every bad apple falls from within inside the movement of the message. All right, and you say, but when it's so much been taught about deception and false prophet, false teaching, doctrine, mark of the beast, you know, is there anything else? Well, you know, we should have told Eve that before she fell. And we should have told the second Eve that when Paul was warning them over and over with tears, and they still fell. But it's promised that this bride will not fall, because I believe there is a ministry that is going to expose the devices of that which was. God is known by his own characteristics. He cannot change. And Satan is also known by his characteristics. And he cannot change. And the book has become open. And you will be able to see him. He might put on different veils, use different men, anoint them with the same ideas, though. But it will be the same spirit. All right? So our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with spirits. And spirits reside among preachers, teachers, and preachers. And they are the strength of the church. All right? And the strength of this church. And therefore, the preachers and teachers are the strength of the church. And therefore, this is what you call spiritual places, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. This is where most mass murders, all mass murders account. The Baptist Church are mass murderers. The Pentecostal are mass murderers. Every single denomination today that have gathered in the city have millions and millions of dead and no life in them. Is that right? But when it comes to the message, we are naive. Even though we hear one in a million, we think it's denomination. The one in a million is among the population of them that are under prophet and exodus. And we have what is called the doctrine of universalism. And the doctrine of universalism is to believe that almost everybody will be saved. And some people in the message have what is called a watered-down view of it. In other words, a wishy-washy view. The wishy-washy view is that, you know, hey, look, you know, these people are going to be saved. You know, they're not all bad. They're going to be saved. All right? And so they have this kind of lovey-dovey view. All right? And my job is to destroy that thing. Satan's going to have no room. It's better to be over-protected than under-protected. Amen. It's better to be completely covered than to have this fluky kind of idea. The bride is the only one that's sealed. The bride is the only one that has life. And anything outside of that is death. Whether you're a foolish virgin or not, it doesn't matter. It matters not to me. I don't preach to foolish virgins. That's not my audience. I only have two audience. And the audience is the true vine and the false vine. Foolish virgin is not the false vine. The twins. You say, well, how do you identify them? Only those who work against these truths, these doctrines, and the ministers that carry this, I worry about. That's the only thing I care about. Nothing else. It doesn't bother me a bit. You see? And Brother Branham says when the Lord was speaking in the church ages, he only had two audiences. He said the true vine and the false vine, because the false vine believes that she is the true vine. So he said because he holds her accountable for it. See? All right, so that's where I want to get you. I want to put you into that kind of mode that the first bride fell, the second bride fell, and the word Ephesus means relax. And we are warned not to be at ease in Zion. All right? You say, we have a hardcore stand. Yeah, we do. You have a hardcore stand against the other message churches and the other ministers. I do. That's where my deception will come from. You have a lax one. You go ahead and rub your shoulders with them. We are all one. You see, and that's what I'm building here. I'm building rugged men and women who are not naive, who are able to say like Ephesians, and they still fail. We tried you and found you to be liars. Is that right? And if you don't know the word, how can you try it? How can you test it? See? And that's where you must be. You're not going to be under pastors and church all the time. You're supposed to be getting yourself out of here on graduation day. You're supposed to be coming to a place now where you and God, you're looking at the word and you're seeing things. Is that right? So it's coming to a place where we have taught you how to think. And the concept is there already. And so all you do is add to it. And you go on and you move on. You see? So that's where it's at. And the more murmuring you are, it means less mature you are. The more murmuring you do is less mature. More complaining you do is less mature. Murmuring and complaining is a form of immaturity. If you're converted and you're still in that mode, you have to watch yourself. Immaturity is always watching what the other guy is doing, what the other guy is saying. But when you realize you're matured, you're watching your own self. Amen. And you got so much to worry about. You don't care about the other guy. As long as he's in the same direction, moving in the same camp, let him go ahead. And that's how it's all about. It's all about that. Your maturity. Where you are. Where's your walk? What's your relationship with sheep and shepherd? Because you are never going to ever have a sheep and shepherd relationship with Christ unless the sheep and shepherd relationship here is a relationship of intimacy, trust, and confidence, and love. That has to happen. You see? And that is why the shepherd loves the sheep loves the shepherd. Without that existing, there is nothing. You're just a woman with complexes and fears, and you just want a headship. You just want somewhere you can cover yourself. That's not church anymore. See, that's not church anymore. If you have not got your fears and complexes out of the way of other churches and other ministers abusing you and all these other things, then you're not even ready. You've got to get that out of the way, that this God's given gifts, and those gifts are there for you. You know, if you haven't come to the place or revelation that this gift can take you into a rapture and you're still checking it out, then you're not there. You know, that's how that works. That's the truth of it. That's the hardcore word of it. You should know by now the motive, the objectives, the priorities, the Spirit of the Lord moving, leading, guiding, directing, you know, and whether or not this is man propagated or, you know, God propagated. Satan propagated, God. If you can't discern that by now and you're here for a long time, you've just been wasting time. Take up your tithing and head out. Run fast as you can. Amen. That's the way it works. Shepherd-sheep relationship is the most intimate relationship there is, because it's going to type Christ in the church. You see? And that has to grow. And the reason we have a lot of problems, just like anybody else who's marrying another woman who was abused and that husband died or whatever it is, all they do is take the head of that man and put it on your body. Because they're just, you know, that's the way it works. You know? So, fighting things that are in the past. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit. Can you put my notes up, brother? There's one set of notes in there. I want to talk about, okay, so there's spiritual wickedness. And I want to use, like we're using Trinidad as an example, the ministry of the ministers meeting in Trinidad that I was at, okay? And we're looking at that ministers there, those ministers there, and we're saying, is spiritual wickedness in high places? Can it be that they have come to a place where they have made themselves the judges? And can we see that with this unfolding and my knowing these men, we have what we call, we came out all in mixed multitudes. All right? And I'm going to say something about mixed multitudes now. Remember, mixed multitude is by the revival of power that we came out under a prophet. And, you know, we call it, you know, casting the net. All right? And so in this net, we have all kinds. Right? All kinds in the net. And then after a while, this is about 1965, and then all the way down to 1980. And then from 1980, you move into twins, which are different stages. And by the time the twins are over, everything is seeded. And all doctrines, all discrepancies now has come up, and now you have these groups. Groups, all right? And all of the groups really end up being, you know, either being the elect and the twin. And then from that group, we move into Antichrist. And that's where I believe that we are now. This Antichrist move started off with a marker of the passing away of the old teachers. And we find that Brother Lee Vail passed away. You find that Brother Coleman passed away. You find out Paul Jones is gone. You find out Junior Jackson is gone. All of these men made significant impact with doctrines. All right? Then you have the return ministry with the Carpenter group, and you have the Toussoul with the Don Parnell group in Ohio. And you have all of these men that I don't even worry about, you know, a lot of them you don't worry about. But some of them were definitely great instruments of God and teachers. Like, for instance, Brother Vail, he brought out the aspect of parousia. And that was a great, great, great truth in that time. But then, like anything else, men took it and perverted it. But there is a true parousia. That's like anything else. So you find these men making contributions, but they're all passing away. And with the passing away, we find the rise of the Collins boy, the Jeff Jenkins, the guy from Ronsberger, was it Rodberger? Came out from Brother Biscoll, and he believed the sign. And there's a guy that came out of Brother Perry Green. He started another site. And all of this is moving now. They're moving now and gathering people from the message to an apostasy, which is called the falling away. All right? Apostasy. Apostasy, there are two kinds of apostasy. The first apostasy is the fall away completely. And the second form of apostasy is falling away by discrepancy. All right? Discrepancy brings you to fall away from the truth. All right? So you find these two forms of Antichrist. They rise against the message. Then from our own self, we are looking at Trinidad, how when they heard the truth of the truth of God, they rather believe the lie. They rather believe the oneness doctrine. Now, they don't know the doctrines, but they, without even really examining it, they already label it Jehovah Witness doctrine or two gods. Or two lords, that they want to put it. Right? So you look at men who deliberately, some of them deliberately wants to do it. All right? And some of them don't have a filter or seed to see or to understand, you see? So there's no seed. And if you have no seed, there's no conversion. If there's no conversion, then you see you cannot understand. You have no Holy Ghost. You're not converted. And we are talking about ministers. So what do? So they are in a position now of power and influence. So what do? They need to protect themselves. All right, to protect themselves. So then they start working in the Antichrist. So the first thing they begin to do is consolidate. So they begin to unite. Enemies unite. In that meeting, Shem and Green are enemies. But in that meeting, they united. All right? All right. Then you have this unite is not only local. You see, and then you have Beckett. Right? And he now is gathering forces in Durban. He's been calling ministers in Durban over the couple of years, working against us, but yet smiling in our faces. Politician. Right? And somehow he's perceived to be a great man in the message, yet doctrinally he has not contributed anything. When I went there, I preached indwelling. They never knew that. So that, they, you know, and if they didn't understand indwelling in the right way, Brother Bam said, your birth is a myth. So you question their doctrine. You question their birth. Where did he get birth from? Who was his pastor that gave him birth? Life comes through the body. You see, because they all were connected with Brother Coleman at one time. Even Beckett was under Coleman's camp. They all came out from the Coleman's work. You know, so you're looking, when you start looking at the history now, where did the birth come from? It's a problem. So then Beckett begins to influence men like Green, men who don't know the word, but because he's a black man, and he's a black man from a third world country, they see a wealthy or successful black man in a certain area, and there's an awe. You see, kind of, that becomes a dangerous spirit, doesn't it? So the black, even here in Colombia, when he comes, it's like a black people kind of awe. Now, you know, things are uncomfortable, yet I try to tell the truth. You understand? It's an awe. But what is it there for? What is it? What's the contributions? So you're looking here now. You have them that are united with another gospel, so really another Jesus, and they're protecting that. Another gospel, and therefore their birth is different, it's another spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So they themselves are already deceived. They are convinced. And no matter what happened, no matter how much you prove that they are wrong, there's no repenting anymore. You see, once you move in this antichrist spot, there's no repenting anymore. You see, even if they want to, they're like Pharaoh. Something will harden their heart. When they want, if they see a truth, if Brother Green even see a truth, or Shem see a truth, you see, they work so much to convince outwardly, it will be almost like a shame. So like Pharaoh, every time he wants to, you know, accept it, you know, somebody's going to rise up and say, well, so it's going to harden their hearts. Because you must have, if you're going to be bride, you must have this. You must have the Antichrist move against the bride. If you don't have it, then you are not bride. You see? Now, so what are some of the characteristics? Some of the characteristics is the boycott. This is when we experience this. So what did they do? They boycott Brother Cyril. They say, Green told him, you're no longer welcome in his pulpit. Well, whatever Green does, that's what, you know, the others do. He's not an authority, but he has the largest church in Trinidad. But we don't know why. Even Shem doesn't know why. I mean, he knows the least, but yet that goes to show that people rotate because it used to be Brother Oja's church, and that church was the first church, so it almost something to be in the first church. So I mean, if anybody wants to be honest, that's exactly what it is. So you're looking here now at a boycott. So then Green now, who doesn't know the word very much, he's the least among the brethren in Trinidad. So he calls up a brother in Barbados, Brother Joel, who sees the truth, believes the truth, you know, and got rebaptized. He's a pastor there with his congregation, his elders, and tell him the reason that he got rebaptized is because he doesn't know the word. The reason because they receive these truths because they don't know the word. A man who don't know the word is telling another man he don't know the word. So he called Suriname, he calls Guyana, so that they boycott the meetings. And that's one of the qualities of the Antichrist is the boycott. Now the boycott is tied to buying and selling. Now buying and selling represents economy. Now how the fivefold works is works like this. Okay, you pay your tithing. You pay 10%, which is your minimum. I always tell you, never pay 10%. If you pay 10% all your life, you will never really prosper. Because 10% is the least that God asks you for. Tithing is the least. You have from 10 to 100. If you're not increasing your tithing as you go along, you're saying, I've never been blessed. That's the least, Brother Jones, your tithing. Brother Bram started with 10, he ended up giving 90. Kept 10%. That's how big it was. All right? So never, I don't ever, for years I don't ever pay 10%. But you pay your tithing. Let's say your tithing comes at $1,000. All right? Out of that, I normally pay 15%. Or 20%. Between 15 and 20%, right? 15 to 20%, I pay my tithing. Okay, so I can pay 15, 16, 17, whatever I want at that time, I can pay that. Am I tithing? So let's say I say 20%. All right, let's say I say 20%. Then what happens? Out of that $1,000, I get $20, $200. Is that right? That $200 is not my money. That $200 belongs to the priesthood. And when the priesthood, I take the money and I give it to the priesthood. When people come here to preach, or ministers that I know is preaching the gospel, need a help, I can take out of this 200, because sometimes it will accumulate every month and come up to an amount, and I can support them that they can go and continue doing what they're doing. That's how the economy of God goes. When you cut them off, what you're essentially doing, you're cutting off their bread and life to go preach the gospel. That's no buying and no selling. I can't hear you. Now, the reason they boycott and there's no buy or sell unless you have the mark in your head or your hand, the mark in your head and your hand is your revelation. Your revelation and understanding. So unless you have their revelation that they have, like Green have, and Beckett have, and Shem have, and George have, and you're doing the deeds according to your revelation, doing their revelation, then you're able to come in. But if you don't, guess what? You're buy and sell. So all we have to do is repent and say, look, we had our Godhead wrong and our gospel wrong. Green, you got it right. Beckett, you got it right. Get big graces. So what are they literally doing now? They are literally, by using the economy and closing the doors and boycotting, they're literally forcing you to worship their way. Come our way and worship our way, and you'll be blessed. So you have the false worship. You have to have their revelation in your head. That is a mark. And that's why you are able to enter in, and there will be no boycott. They'll open the doors for you. Do you understand how that works, friends? You see how the mark of the beast is right among us, right in the message? Right? So it's a boycott. Now, it's an apostasy, it's a boycott. And it is also now, the mark of the beast is to reject the whole baptism of the Holy Ghost. To reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to take the mark of the beast. Now, Brother Bam says, how do you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Ephesians 1:13. After you hear the word of truth. He said not before, after. It means after you recognize this to be the truth. So after you hear the word of truth, how do you hear the word of truth? By a preacher. The preacher has to be sent, and if he's sent, he has to be born again. He has to have life. If he has life, then he's going to bring the word of truth and a germatized word. And if he brings that word of truth, it's going to be different from the nominal message. Our Godhead is different, our dwelling is different, appearing, coming, our marriage, divorce is different. Is that right? So it's going to be different from the nominal message. It's going to be open book. Right? And then when he receives that, then he's been quickened by life, because life comes through the body. And he can be quickened. But if a man comes with life, with these truth, and let's say, like Trinidad, reject it, then they take the mark of the beast. To reject the Holy Spirit, you see? You see, Brother Tony, that's exactly what's happening. And then they are uniting together. Just like they wouldn't unite with the World Ecumenical Council. They have their own uniting. But the bride elect also is uniting, because in the last 4 years we've been connected to groups and people calling and connecting that we never. What is it? It's a uniting too. It's us and them. So they're Sherman, the group there, that ministers meeting group, they're not going to hear us, because they that have God hear it us. They that know it not God hear it not us. That's what the Bible tells me. You know, right? 1 John chapter 4, 5 and 6. All right. That's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. Let's read our notes, if somebody will help me clear that up. So the thing about using the Trinidad is that God gave me, when I went there, and they manifested that spirit. And when Green began to manifest, a man who doesn't know the word, began to manifest such an attitude towards the doctrine and our ministry, then the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, this here. And I went back, and this is how this unfolding happened. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit, I was supposed to leave on some trips that were seemingly very needful. And the Lord opened a way where I didn't have to go. Someone was going to go for me. And then, it was all the Lord, because when I stayed back, these things began to unfold. Right? Now the Bible said, know them that labor among you. And I know how they're laboring. Their labors are laboring against the truth, against them that have life, and against... So you see, what ends up happening is, like I'm going to read here now, okay? Now, we're looking at the characteristics of the mark of the beast, or the Antichrist. Tell me if these are the characteristics. Antichrist is going to be known by it. Tell me if these characteristics are not there. I want you to notice that at the beginning of the Gentiles, when you got to deal with them, they got haughty. Now, the beginning of the Gentiles was Nebuchadnezzar. The end of the Gentiles is our day. And forced every man to worship an image of a holy man. So now, a holy man, I'm just going to say the worship of a creation. I don't care who it is. And the unique creations are Lucifer, Satan. He was a unique creation more than all the other angels. And the second most unique creation is the Son of God. All right? And what Satan does, the worship of the creation is called Baal worship. Right? Now, Baal worship is broken up, it comes from the pits of hell. And the pits of hell is represented on the earth by Babylon, confusion. And Babylon and confusion has a very high place on earth, which was Nicaea. Right? So that is where spiritual wickedness and high places guarded, inspired, brought confusion on the earth. And that came out as Baal, as the Trinity worshipped. Trinity worship is taking the word Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Matthew 28:19, where Brother Bram said, these are not talking about person, this is a dispensation. Three dispensation. So there's a dispensation called fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Spirit. All right? So there's no person there. But Trinity said this word father means one person, second person, third person. And they say this second person, which is a creation, a son, that second person is a member of the Godhead. He made a creation Godhead. Godhead meaning eternal, never have a beginning and an end. That's why they talk about eternal sonship. That's the Trinity worship. So they worship, make the Son part of the Godhead, make the creation part of the Godhead and worship Him. That's Baal worship. Now, the second part of Baal worship is oneness. Where they say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not dispensation, but these three are one person. And this one person is Jesus, one Jesus, not two, one Jesus. This one Jesus is God, who played the role of Father, played the role of Son, and played the role of the Holy Spirit. And this is oneness because Him is His own Father. All right, so this is how that operates. So they deny there is a father-son relationship. Because the Father is the Son and the Son is the Father. What is that? That's called Baal. We worship the creature more than the creator, because Brother Man said Jesus at the beginning. All right? Okay. All right, so let's look now. Are they guilty of Baal worship? So they worship, Baal worship means that the Antichrist is going to worship another Jesus, another gospel, because the gospel is going to be different. And you have a false birth. All right? Now this false worship is what Elijah is against. All right, so let's now, and it will go out the same way. Do you see that? Worship of creation. It'll go out the same way. The same way, a boycott of the mark of the beast will force people to worship images and to do the things that have been taught. Do the thing that has been taught that was contrary to the word of God. So it's going to force them to. What does Shem and Green and them want you to do? Well, they want to force us, right, to be oneness. Thing that is contrary to the word. All right? All right, now, what are they doing? They change the truth. Now, what is the truth? The seventh seal message. Let's label that. The truth is the seventh seal, seven thunders message, which is really the unveiling of God. The mighty God unveiled. Christ revealed in his own word. See? Okay. Now change it into a what? So is Baal worship a Trinity a lie? Yes. Is oneness a lie? Yes. Okay, so they believed the lie. And worshipped and served the creature. Is the Son of God the highest human creature there is? Yes. He is. Created? Yes. Has a beginning? Yes. Oh yeah, very good. And we worship the God that has no beginning. Amen. That is what the Hebrew says. We worship a God that has no beginning. Amen. The eternal one. Amen. All right. Okay. Creature more than the creator who is blessed for. So the creator, is the Son of God the creator? Okay. Well, only go on one. How many creators we have? How many healer we have? Well, and Jesus said, I never heal nobody. Right, so that's the creator. They worship the creation more than the creator. Now, and the third angel is Elijah, isn't it? Isn't the third angel, Brother Branham? Yeah. Elijah followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and the image, and receive the mark in his forehead or his hand. So Elijah, the third angel, is telling me, do not worship the beast. Now, what is the characteristic of the beast? The Roman Catholic Church. And what is their main doctrine? The Trinity. Don't be a Trinity worshiper. That's what he's telling you. Then what's the second thing? Don't worship the image of the beast. What's the last movement of the Protestant church? The oneness. Got the quote for it. He said in the last days, that's when the oneness came into being. Right? So is the oneness the image of the beast? What is their doctrines? The oneness gospel. So you have the Trinity and oneness. And Brother Bram said, I am not a Trinity. I'm not a oneness. You oneness people get away from me. So he's trying to tell you, don't worship Trinity. Don't worship oneness. But they want to force us into the oneness. Amen. And the teachers who don't know about it, like in the meeting, Brother George, he doesn't know what to say. He said, that's Gnosticism. He doesn't know what Gnosticism is when you believe that God is too great to come down. And touch the material world. So he said, a demagogue. We are preaching opposite that. Deity of Jesus means opposite of that. See, he just wanted to say something because he didn't know. And he had his other followers there, so he has to look good in front of them. I hate men who pretend. You don't know, say you don't know. Amen. Be honest. Amen. They don't know. See, now, teachers always work against teachers because they think they have to compete. That if they say, this man is a true, that man teaches some true doctrine, then it makes them look bad. Whose master they working for? Amen. Whatever you receive, did you receive it of yourself or you receive it somewhere? We all get it from God. We all get it from somewhere. There ain't no copyright to this thing. But you see, inexperience and pride, you see, when you preach the gospel for the wrong reason, when you're in ministry for the wrong reason, when you want the praises of men, and when you want to work in a politician way, and all of these things, so you don't hurt nobody's feeling, you can't be a true minister of God and worry about hurting people's feeling. You ought to worry about doing saying the truth, regardless how hard it is. That's the truth of ministry. Yeah, but it's better you don't hurt God's feeling than people's feeling. So there's a bunch of pretenders, you see. And there are some decent men in there. I believe there are some, I hope that God will do something for them. You know, for the genuine one. I'm not talking about these old rascals. I'm talking about the genuine one, genuine men of God who don't matter how they looked and how, you know, people say, well, that'll be a shame to repent and go back and get rebaptized. You know what they're for? Here's what one man says. He says, well, I see what you're saying, but Brother Branham never got rebaptized. He's at a Trinitarian baptized, Brother Branham. I said, in the days of Brother Branham, Baptist, Trinity and Oneness were both getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if that was true, why did Brother Branham continue? Why did he come back and preach, life comes through the body? Because those men in those days, Trinity and Oneness, the Spirit was falling upon all flesh. I can't hear you. Brother Neville was a Methodist in a Methodist church with the Holy Ghost. Lee Vale was a Baptist. Amen. With the Holy Ghost. I can't hear you. Oh, you know that woman that was on the Believe the Sign was crying that she'd been in the message for 30 years. And, you know, she was just, oh. That woman, Satan's tool. Oh, my goodness. She was a good tool too, boy. I was going to tell you something about what she said. About,
and one of the reasons she left was because she realized that Brother Branham said he wasn't a Baptist, and Brother Branham's first church was First Baptist Church of Jeffersonville. And
the dude that inherited the thing with the people. You can live in a house with a name put by somebody before the house. But, I mean, what does it have to do with it? This ministry proved he wasn't with them. He worked amongst them. See, make it difficult. He did say he didn't have no fellowship card, but he did have a fellowship card. But he didn't fellowship in that way. He's trying to bring them all his brethren. You see? So he wasn't counting on his fellowship. He was caught. He was counting on that he was trying to bring them together. I tell you, if you don't have seed, brother, the devil's just waiting. And for those of you who are not grounded, I don't know about you, but I've got too much great truths to look at. To go and look at these unbelievers in these websites. Yes. Because that is what they're there for. They have to pluck up. If your husband or your wife is not grounded, and you see he wants to find a fault with you and your faith, he just has to go on the internet. And guess what the unbeliever will do?
Oh, you better watch that boy.
I'm telling you. They are designed to draw and to... And we look, you can't be upset with that. That's their job. Right, that's their job. The woman on the street there that is not dressed properly, invited men, she has a place. How else would a wife know how genuine her husband is if that woman is not there? I can't hear you. She's got her work to do. Next time you pass them, say, do a good job. They got their work to do, brother. Let them do their work. Do you see what I'm saying here? All right. So, you see how the characteristics work. Is there boycotting the message?
Yes.
Amen. Is it a false worship?
Yes.
Is it a buy and sell to enter in?
Yes.
Amen. Is Elijah against it?
Yes.
And that's what we found in Trinidad. It's going up. Now, the mark of the beast. Let's look at the characteristics for a minute. Can't receive the mark of the beast and then worship Christ. Because to worship Christ, you have to worship Him spirit and truth. Right? And to have the spirit and the truth, you have to have a ministry at life. Seed comes through the body. That man's life represents a tree of life, and his teaching becomes the fruit. Right? How can you have, if you receive this, you will be born again. Is that right? You will be born again. It means they reject this for a false ministry, partaking false fruit,
And that's how they answer. You can't worship. So these people, Trinidad, can't worship in spirit and truth. How can they do it? There's no way they can do it. But a false Jesus, a oneness Jesus, you could never worship in spirit and truth. So is that a qualification? Of course. Second one. The seals him away in the kingdom of God. Then grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed on the day of your redemption. And in the last days, there is going to be two classes of people. What day? And them that has the seal, and the others will have the mark of the beast. That's right. So the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you get the seal of God? After you hear the word of truth from somebody who has the life in the body, then you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right, now, the third angel is Brother Bill. Okay? The worship of the beast and the image of the beast is to worship a Trinity Jesus or a oneness Jesus, which makes it another Jesus. Either one makes another Jesus. There is a Trinity gospel and a oneness gospel, which is another gospel. So oneness and Trinity are both another gospel. Right? And the Trinity say they are born again. The Pentecostal Trinity say they are born again. And the oneness Trinity say they are born again. So that's another spirit. Right? There's a Trinity baptism and a oneness baptism. Another spirit, false birth, mark of the beast, and don't know it. Mark in the head and hand means knowledge or revelation, and deed means religious service and works. So now we see that the mark of the beast is, we see what the mark of the beast is. It's the mark of apostasy. What is apostasy? There are two forms of apostasy. Give me two forms of apostasy. Falling away completely from the messenger and the message. And the second is to fall away from the truth through discrepancies. Seed of discrepancy caused you to fall away. Discrepancy must be in the message. You see? You never come across discrepancy of two souls? Polygamy? All is in the message. They say, Brother Bram taught it. All right. Okay. The Bible said, he that worshipped the beast receives his mark, or the letter of his name, in his forehead or hand. And the prophet interprets, that's knowledge or deed. So their knowledge of God and our knowledge of God is two different things. That's their mark. If you want to know if they have their mark, just ask them about their God. Who do you worship, the beast or the image of the beast? By checking them to see if they are Trinity or oneness. Well, they have no Trinity in the message. Let's check the oneness. Once they have the oneness doctrine, they have it, their mark in their head. That's another Jesus. Everybody happy? All right, you see the characteristics. I'm going through them and see if it's in the message now. See if it's right here among us. Right in our Columbia, right in South Carolina, churches. Oh, just love him, don't you? Yes, sir. What's the seal of God? The Holy Ghost. What is the mark of the beast? To reject it. How do you reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When you reject a man with life presenting to you the truth of the doctrines. So if I go to Simmons and present this, he rejects it because he's already heard it. Well, we are already labeled two gods. You already called Brother David. I picked up the phone right away. I said, if you want to know someone, don't call David, call me. Call yourself an elder. Elder because you're old. That's as much of an elder you can go. Elder, don't talk like a child. What is the seed of God? The Holy Ghost. What is the mark of the beast? Reject it. That's the two. One is to see. Well, if it's one is to see, one is not to see. Blinded. Okay, the seal of God is the Holy Ghost. The Bible said so. Every place in Scripture, it says the mark of God is this, and the seal of God. And all that did not have it was the one who rejected it. I can't hear you. Shem rejected, Green rejected, George rejected, Beckett rejected. What is it? The mark. It's the apostasy. It is to reject the truth is to believe the lie. That's it. The only place in this entire world that you can get the truth of the revelation of the Godhead is through the messenger William Branham, through the Son of Man. Nowhere else can have it. And the only people who will reject Brother Branham's revelation or that he's not a oneness is the people in the message.
You see, all that didn't have it was ones who rejected. And how did they reject it? By refusing to hear it. So that's why Green called up. They didn't want to hear it in the minister's meeting, 15 minutes. So Shem didn't want to hear it. Green didn't want to hear it. Green don't want Joel to hear it. He don't want Guyana to hear it. He don't want Suriname to hear it. In fact, he don't want nobody to hear it. That, the reason for that is because his father, the devil, doesn't want him to hear it. Now, I wish these men will repent. But if they don't repent, let it. If it's black now, let it be black. If they repent, I'll certainly say, brother, I am so glad that these things were just looking like you were that way. But you're not. But repent. That is what Trinidad need to do. It need to humble itself from all its pride and repent. It's a proud country. Repent. By refusing to hear it. Did you get that? They reject it by refusing to hear it. Life comes through the body. You are sealed after you hear the word of truth. And you are born again, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? From a born again member of the body. To reject the truth from the born-again member of the body is to reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost and is in danger of receiving the mark of the beast. Is that simple enough? We know for one thing, Hughes don't want nothing to do with this. He refused to hear it. He's a slick fox now. He can tell you he doesn't see it. He doesn't want it without telling you it. He can tell the people in Guyana that because that's what he told them. All right, remember, birds of a feather flock together. Now, Jesus said in the last days, according to Matthew 24:24, that these two spirits, the ones that were sealed with God and the ones that were marked with the beast, not notice the two classes is Matthew 24:24. Can Matthew 24:24 be Pentecost? No. Where's the mark of the beast? You never seen a man with a mark of the beast, did you? Oh my goodness, this Bible is an old liar and the prophet is a liar. Because there are more of them than us and you never met one. You never met a man who preaches a oneness gospel. You never meet a man who despises these doctrines, have nothing to do with it, stand afar off from it. You never meet anybody like that, right? Because mark of the beast means an evil man like, you know, a gang member. You don't even want to call a Baptist preacher a man with a mark of the beast. You all are so nice people. It's pathetic. Amen. Because you got this concept. You judge by the word. You don't judge how Hollywood have it and how nice they are and dressed they are. Bigger churches, how sweet and the amens and the kind and the sweet. Amen. And the kind old priest. Jesus said the kind old priest was their father was the devil. And they're looking so pious, and the people say, oh, we can do that. Message preachers are looking so pious. I don't want to say that. How would I know if he's a mark of the beast? How would I know if he's a son of Satan? How do I know you're an antichrist? Well, if you don't know, you're going to be deceived, you dummy. Because if you don't know, how do you know you're not one? They like to use that old cop-out line, brother. Who am I to judge? Well, get out of here. You can't judge at all. Because we're going to be judging angels. And if you're moving on to adoption and can't judge now, there's something wrong with your judging. Your discernment. Because you're supposed to have an exercise to be discerned. Amen. Between good and evil, the Bible said. Amen. We are not raising children here. You want religion? You better leave here. You better run away and hide. It's not for here. This is for rugged men and women who don't need to be sprayed. You're not hot bread plants. You're rugged men and women and you need how to judge. I don't care who they are. It can be the Pope. He's still Antichrist. But nobody wants to say that. I guess if he was coming to visit your house, what you would do? You put out a red carpet. I would put out my dogs. Get him, boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's nothing but dog meat. Jezebel husband. Yes, sir. Let him eat him up. My dogs will lick up his blood. Now. Jesus said, in the last days. Okay, everybody caught that? El Shaddai. Okay, go on up. I know you say, this is a mean preacher, boy. He's a mean preacher. Well, they thought Brother Branham was a mean preacher too. But it's still the truth. How many knows that? God's word says the seal of God is the Holy Ghost. And then what is the mark of the beast? It's to reject the Holy Ghost. How do you reject the Holy Ghost? Reject the word of truth by a ministry in the message who has life. And to labor it false and fight against it, work against it, there's nothing more than the mark of the beast. All right, hearing. It's already a mark. Just reject the Holy Ghost and you're marked. Receive the Holy Ghost and you're marked. I can't hear you. You get that? You say, well, you know, they don't really see the doctrine. The reason they don't see is because they're ordained to take the mark. So let me give you a piece of rule here. If they reject it but don't fight it and don't kill your influence, then they're foolish virgins. I can't hear you. But if you see they scoffed, reject, fight, belittle, and undermine, and you know they're trying to save you. Save you from this ministry. You know what's going on. Amen. Now, that would have been a mark of the beast, would be to reject the seal of God. That's all. They didn't have the seal of God and had the mark of the beast, and it's two spiritual marks. One of them will be the true mark of God, the other one is apostasy. Can you see? The seal of God, any minister knows the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is carnal Esau to reject the birthright. What's the birthright title? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you are sealed yourself outside the kingdom. So let me put it to you this way. Everybody okay? When they reject Brother Branham and his ministry, denominational world took the mark of their beast. And when they reject in the message community, the ministers with life, with the truth, I can't hear you, they receive the mark of the beast. Amen. See how that works? But the two characteristics are the same. The two characteristics are the same. Everybody have a better idea of the mark of the beast in the message? Can you identify it? By what? Its characteristics. Don't worry about how nice their voice is and their suit and their personality. Amen. Say, hey, look, take all of that rubbish off. The bottom line is that you reject the word. And you take the mark of the beast. You all are so quiet. You don't believe that, do you? Why don't you prove it? Take these truths to the people you came from. Why don't you do it? Please do it. Try to save them. Would you do it? I give each one of you a dollar if you go. A whole dollar. Now, coming from an Indian, that's a lot of money. All right, $2. No offers? You know why you wouldn't do it. You know why. All right. Now, if they don't, listen carefully now. All that didn't receive the seal of God got the mark of the beast. And you know what the mark of the beast is, was to reject the seal of God. In the Old Testament, when the trumpet sounded, and that the gospel preached by a priest, am I not sounding the trumpet? These truths? If a slave didn't want to go free, he had to be sealed, bore his ear with an oar. Then he was a slave for the rest of his days. Faith cometh by hearing. Guess what unbelief comes by? Hearing too. Error comes by hearing, see? If you don't hear it and receive it, I can't hear you, then you're marked on the other side. So let's go tell them about it, and let's might as well get it over with, bore the ear and leave. You get it? Another thing Brother Bam said, the mark of the beast is a man who worships his church. But our church don't believe, and we have a nice church and we love our pastor. And I'm going to die here. Yeah, you're going to die twice. Dead, plucked up by the root. She cast into the fire. Brother Bam said, that also is the mark of the beast. That's really Mary worship. To worship your church and your pastor and the church setting. We love our church, Brother Bam says. Right there, that's Mary worship. Say, God never put his name, his word in the church. God put his name in his word. Or that's where he'll receive it. All right, the church member hung in instead of walking in a line. Now watch carefully. And remember, we found out one mistake, that the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy. That is, the church members hanging on to their church instead of walking in the light. Oh, why wouldn't the people leave Hughes or Green or what? Oh, no. We love him. Easy going. He cared for us. Fruits of the Spirit. But no word. No life. So walking in light. They reject light. And there's nothing left but darkness. See, that's the mark of the beast too, right then and there. All right? Okay, and who took it? The twin. Cain and Abel were twins. Did Cain take the mark of the beast? Then he did. Then twins take it in the message. Go on up. Somebody's having Holy Ghost rest out there somewhere. Two classes. I'm going to skip. Go on up. Let's look. Two classes. The boycott. And okay. Let's read this one. And the mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Ghost, which is the seal outside the kingdom. No, whatever. Okay. Go on up. There's only two classes. The Jubilee and so forth. Ephesians 1 and 3. He that have an ear, they have no ear to hear. You see? The hear and ear and the see and eye had the Lord had made even both of them. So God did not give them an ear to hear. He didn't give them an eye to see. He had planted the ear. Shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And if God give it, shall you not hear? All right. Okay. Now, mixed multitudes now. Let's look at the identification quickly. Characteristics of the false vine. Came out of the mixed multitude, Exodus, but not manifest. You agree with that? 1980, you agree with that? False vine are twins. You believe that? Same mother, same word, same rain, same light, different seed, different fathers. You believe that? Are you willing to say they are their father, the devil? Or you're too nice to say that? All right. False vine, Matthew 7:16-20, Matthew 12:23. So the false vine has a ministry. You see, it's manifested by their fruit. What is their fruit? Their teaching, which identify what kind of tree. What is the tree? It's a minister and his ministry. All right? That's how it. Okay, false vine have false revelation and understanding of the message. Hebrews 4 compared to Cain and Abel, twins, two different revelations. One, both of them revelations are in the word, but one is out of season. Misplaced, dislocated, misinterpreted. All right? John 8:44, receive not the truth. They will not receive the truth no matter. Some people say, Brother Tony, if you were to be nicer, sweeter, if you were to preach in a little bit more, less aggressive manner. Oh, so I guess niceness brings you into the gospel, not truth. Forget that. If they come in with a rugged old, rough old way, it's because they come in for truth and nothing else. Otherwise, you'll have to baby them all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. When they rig them over the coal, they ain't going to be there anyway. Okay? You get that? I don't believe in that stuff. False vine. False teachers. False vine is Matthew 24:24. They're, what are they? False teachers and teaching. Which is 2 Peter 2:1. They came out in a mixed multitude in 2 Peter. Mixed multitude there. Jude 1:5. Is that right? They came in, men of condemnation. Is that right? The beast and the image of the beast worship is in 2 Peter, in Jude 1:4. They deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Okay, well, that's mixed multitude right there. They worship the beast and the image of the beast right there. False vine are impersonators of ministers of light, message preachers. You agree with that? Amen? That is what Green would have ended up being. Impersonators of the true ministry. Okay? Shem, all of these. If they don't carry the truth of life, they're impersonating the real. Okay, you say, but these men are preachers for years. We're not saying the gift is not right. We're saying they're impersonating as if they were the true. Right? Okay. False vine are hypocrites. Mixers, crows versus dove. Is that what the prophet says hypocrites were? The twins. You see, the crow versus dove. You see? And the prophet said, you'll know them by their what? Their diet. What are they feeding on? False vine is false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:15, Revelation 2:2. False vine are liars. religious liars. See, religious liars when it comes to the doctrine. We found them to be liars. Jesus said, your father, like your father, you also a liar. You see? And all of these are scriptures are liars. Who is a liar but deny? The Father and the Son. Is that true? All right. So if you go through those scriptures, and I'm leaving them there for you, you'll find the characteristics of the false vine. They are the synagogue of Satan. They say that they're message churches, but they're nothing. They're lodge. All right, they worship in vain because they have tradition, oneness, and laying on the hands and altar call. It's vain. All right, they are the true sign, but iniquity to the will of God. So they have signs and wonders with them, but they have iniquity in when it comes to the will of God. Now, this is where I want to get to you. I'm just reading it for you. Listen very carefully. So here, the prophet of God is telling you here, he is the fruit of your union. Your child is the fruit of your union. So to have fruit, you need two things, isn't it? You need a union. Now you want to present him to God. Then it is called God. But I will promise you that through the fruit of your loins, I will raise up your son. Now, in type, let's say it was Solomon. You think David can raise up Solomon without Bathsheba? No. So it takes the two to bring up the union, the fruit of his loins. All right, dedication here. The prophet of said, says here, this is your converts from the fruit of your ministry. If he was not in contact with God or the Holy Spirit, you think he would have the fruit of his ministry? No. All right, so you can see how the word fruit is used. Is that right? Now, in the message Serpent Seed, the prophet says, now watch how close you are to the coming. Can you take this off for me? I'm going to just use that for a minute. It doesn't matter, whoever you want to do it, it's fine. Now watch how close. Now what I want to tell you, before I go in here, I want to show you that Eden is reproduced in a measure in every age. Every local church represents an Eden. I can't hear you. And every local church, what is an Eden? It's a place prepared, designated, and has a boundary. And that boundary is the light by which it is called into. Right? A preparation that God does. All right, so in every age there is an Eden. Every local church is an Eden. It's a garden, I mean. Now, a garden of Eden, all here is Eden, but this is the garden of Eden.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? And this is the garden of Eden. And in this garden of Eden, there is going to be a tree, which is the messenger of the age.
Thank you, Lord.
So you have a tree, which is a ministry. And, a ministry, a message. All right, you have a man and his ministry. Now his message, which is his teaching, becomes his fruit. Right? And therefore, he'll put forth a branch. And then in that branch, he's going to have fruit. Now if this branch have life, what happens is that then you're going to have another ministry, which is the beast. He's going to come in. He's also a tree. All right, he's going to have a message, and he is going to attach on to here. And that is called, what does he do? He's grafting, sucking off of the life of the message, but discrepancy and produce another branch. And that branch is going to have fruit and teaching too. And the fruit and teaching of this is going to be because of the original life, because it's our original branch. But this is not going to be the original. It will bear of its own kind. Even though it's sucking off of this life, it will not produce this life. It's grafted in. So if I take a grapefruit branch and an orange tree and I plant it, it will bear grapefruit. Can't hear you. You get it? And when the age is finished, this tree that didn't bring forth good fruit, that is hewed down and thrown into the fire. right? And then this tree, this fruit is gathered, and then this branch is cut off. It's pruned off because it'll never be again. If it does, the life will go in here for no good reason. So he goes to another branch. Okay. Now let's just take a look at this. So you have this tree, and from this one tree, you're going to have science, which is the word knowledge of good and evil. So you're learning what is good, you're learning what is evil. And this is almost like law. There's no life in law. So this is men who live the message by law because they don't have a nature. They don't have the right nature. So this becomes, the knowledge of good and evil becomes impersonators of Christianity or bride. So the knowledge of good and evil every age is the same message you're living off, but it's a different branch with a different fruit, you see. But they're saying that they come from the same tree, but really they are just living the law of the message. They don't really understand it because they don't have the right nature to see completely. So they really are impersonators. That's why they are the twins. So the knowledge of good and evil is the message lived out by an unconverted nature. In every age, this is true. This becomes the messenger of the age, but then after he leaves, this becomes the local church. The pastor or the apostle becomes the tree of life. And the doctrine, my doctrine, becomes the fruit to you. And the church next door, he will be the tree in his midst. But if he is not converted, then he will produce a church, a message church, and that message church will be the legalists or the impersonators of the truth. And that's how we come to twins. Everybody understand that? This happens in every age. So now, you can say the pastor is the tree and his teaching is his fruit. If the fruit, the teaching is good, make the pastor good. If the teaching is false, no matter how nice he is, make him false too. Because a tree is known by its fruit. Just like it's impossible for a son to practice sin, it's impossible for a good ministry to produce false, bad, corrupt fruit. Impossible. You see how that works? Alright, so this is really in your midst right now. With that being said, I'm only going to read and 15 minutes out of here. Now watch how close you are going to come. When this woman, he made him a helpmate, and she was to be his helpmate. You know, you eat an apple. That wasn't what they did. They made them realize they were naked. Certainly it wasn't. It had to come through sexually. So the fruit was sexual. All right? And what fruit represents sexual, the teaching or whatever it is, it's a union between the woman and a spirit. All right? Because teaching carries the seed of the mind of Satan, or it carries the seed of the mind of God. If the woman is united with God, right, then she will pollinate. She will pollinate, and that union will bring forth the right kind of product or children, which is the fruit of her womb. So the right seed have to go in the womb, which the fruit is also called a teaching, to produce the right kind of fruit, which is her children. All right, I hope that's not confusing to you. It had to be because they realized they were naked and they've taken this forbidden fruit, forbidden teaching, teaching that you're not supposed to do. And what is that? You must not add, you must not take away. You must not misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret. This is the same as it was in the beginning. All right, now, ain't a woman a fruit tree? Aren't you the fruit of your mother? That was the fruit of the fig. So what he's doing, the prophet is doing, is showing you that the tree in the Garden of Eden was the woman. And you don't eat the tree, you eat the fruit, which he says, don't have a union. Because if you have a union, that is going to consider that then she's going to have fruit. You get what I'm saying? And that's going to produce what? Death. You'll die. Alright? And he that is born of a woman, or that tree, is a few days and full of trouble. I hope you catch what I'm looking at. Right? So now we're bringing it down to, you know, the tree. We find out death was caused. Death is the cause of sin, this of sin of the woman. Alright? Come through the woman and not the man. So, death come through the woman tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil brought death. That's the woman. Come through the woman and not the man. By her living her life. Well, she can't live it alone. She had to live it with someone. I can get you. And by her, all death. You get where I'm going? Her way of giving life is death. How many knows that Job, if you want to put that down, I've got your question here. I got scriptures down. Every bit of it. If you want to read Job, it says, a man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. Is that right? He cometh up like a fowl, he's cut down in waste, and so forth. Every man that is born of a woman is born in death as soon as he comes. But when he is born into the creation of God, he cannot die. He is from the other tree that was in the Garden of Eden. Christ, eternal life comes by that tree. Now, if she had had her union with Adam, okay, in the right season, she would have never brought death. It could never bring death. It would have bring life. Guess what I'm saying? So the two trees in the garden was Adam and Eve. They represent, one represent the woman, one represented the man. The two trees represent one man, one woman. Right? Now, these trees have to bring forth fruit. Alright? So if this tree was pollinated by the serpent, it brought forth death. Isn't that right? Amen. And Satan had to work through the man to bring the pollination. Satan had to work through the serpent to bring the pollination. God had to work through Adam to bring the pollination to the tree. Now, if you are wise, you'll know that if you plant an apple tree, one tree in your yard, you will never get apples. You need two trees because it needs another apple tree to pollinate the apple trees. I can't hear you. Is your clicker going? He said the book will become open, didn't he? I know. You said, but Tony, I never heard it this way. I never. Well, I'm just reading what he's saying. All right? And you said that the Bible is supposed to become a new book. It means what you used to know, you got to throw it out. That's what transformation is. That's what a renewing of your mind is. All right. Now, you say she was a tree. Sure. Well, they said, thou shalt not take of this tree. God said in Genesis back there, thou shalt not take of this tree. All right. Now, well, the woman is the tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And then the fruit. So now, what I want to show you is that the fruit of the woman, the fruit in the midst, the tree in the midst of the garden, Verbam makes a compound statement with that. The tree in the midst of the garden is the woman reproductive, her whole reproductive womb and everything that goes with that. That is what he's calling the midst. That's the tree in the midst. So he's using language to say what he wants to say to those who understand what happened. You catch what I'm saying? You catch what I'm saying? So follow him. Now, well, the woman is a tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. Okay, so it has to have pollination. The fruit of the woman is you. The fruit of the womb. Now notice, the womb comes involved. Now you don't get to the womb without having the seed being able to be planted there. You catch my? All right. That's right. And then the fruit of the tree that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. Okay, now through the woman comes death. Through the man in the original creation come life. To be born of a woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Now, can you be born of Christ without the church? You can't. God uses Christ, amen, to pass on the seed through the church to reproduce and bring forth. So when the prophet is using Christ, amen, compared to the woman, you've got to put the church in there, the true church in there, who is receiving life, amen, and she's reproducing, amen, that seed. You say, Brother Bam said, God gave the woman to so that he could reproduce himself. Don't change the laws now. See, don't just read one thing and disconnect it from everything else. Add all the laws up together. All right. Proverbs. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Right? Well, this word wholesome means completely healthy, and that comes to do with doctrine. She is a tree of life to them that hold upon her. Amen. And we went all the way back and take this to be wisdom. Is that right? A knowledge. Okay. All right. Now, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. All right. What is the fruit of your teaching comes out to? Amen. What is that? That's your message of the hour, your fruit that you produce, right? All right. Now, let's go on up. Now, was it a literal tree from which Eve ate the fruit? No, because the prophet answers it in this question. The question was asked. Next question. He said, was it a literal tree which Eve ate the fruit? She saw it was good for food. All right, brother, sister. Ever who it was, let's go back to Genesis now. You see, and he begins to answer. Let's bring the story up. It was pure and holy. There was no sin, no defilement. The first question, the tree of life, in the midst of the garden. In the midst of the tree. The tree was the woman. Right? Now I'll prove to you by scriptures. It will just be patient a few minutes. You'll get first whether she conceived, she knew Adam or not. And they heard the voice of the garden walking, God, Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and this wife hid herself in the presence of the Lord and the trees, and called Adam and said, Adam, and she said, I heard thy voice in the garden, afraid because I was naked. Who told, you see? Now, he didn't know that the day before, that he was naked, and I hid myself. See, he said, who told you that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Eating of the tree make him realize he was naked, and the prophet said so on. He said, see, it wasn't naked, wasn't a tree. You see, it wasn't a tree. An apple they ate, it was sexual, so the tree was a woman. And the eating meant an act. Amen. You see, and such as an adulterous woman that eateth and wiped her mouth and said she has done no wrong, right? All right, Proverbs. Thou hast eaten of the tree which I command thee now. All right. And the woman said, the woman thou givest me to be with me, the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is thou that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That's a long time before she had conceived, you see, by Adam. Adam knew her, and she conceived and brought forth a child. But I want to ask you just for a literal standpoint now, to prove to you that she was the tree. Every woman is a fruit tree. How many knows that? Now, I want to get it to you. I want to get to you here that the church represents the woman. So the church, every church represents the tree. And how that woman doctrinally is dressed and the fruit of her womb that she's producing is going to be children of the serpent or the children of God. You understand? And when you go to church, you're telling who your mother is. You're telling, you know, you're telling what kind of doctrine, what kind of covering, You see, because the woman is designed to seduce and bring you in. So she's making her fruit appealing by watering down the doctrine, or, you know, showing us mostly fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, well, some people say, brother, why don't you come over here? We only have a half an hour service. You know, that's a catch for some people too. And no service on a Friday night. Then the song leader is certainly happy. Everybody understand what's going on? How many knows that? Aren't you the fruit of your mother? Aren't you? In the midst of the tree, the fruit she did not touch. You see, in the midst of the woman, I can't hear you. In the midst of the woman, the fruit that she did not touch. All right, if you'll notice, wasn't Jesus the tree of life? Didn't he promise over in Matthew 6, the bread of life? So he's talking, where did bread come from? A tree. Isn't that true? A plant, a tree. It come from God, out of heaven. Now, if any man eat of the woman, you see, and partook through the bird. Now, how do you eat of Christ? You can't eat of Christ without coming to the church. She is, you see, we are giving you his body. We are giving you his blood, his flesh. Amen. Why they are presenting, amen, the serpent's body, the serpent's flesh. Amen. That's why they are serpent seed in classification. Follow again now. Your communion cannot be with devils and it cannot be with Christ. It has to be one or the other. Amen. All right. Through the birth of man forever. All right. The woman's nothing but incubated babies. Now, I want to show you what this church is doing. The woman itself does not contribute anything to the child. No blood. She doesn't contribute. In fact, she can have the... Amen, because she doesn't produce herself. It's what pollinates her is going to determine it. Because the male carries the blood. Amen. Oh, ain't God good? You see what I'm saying, Brother Jones? Amen. So, it's not really the church. It's where her inspiration or doctrine is coming from. You see, it's not of our own. The doctrine is not of man. It's really, when you say doctrine of man, you're really talking a doctrine that comes from below. Or you can, Brahman say you don't have a thought coming. It's either from God or Satan. You've got none coming. Thoughts either come from God, and when it's perverted, it comes from Satan. And if there's only one source of thought, then there's only one thought, but it's perverted, and that's how it becomes. Oh, I hope you see it, friends. I can't get it the way I give it, but I can't give it away. I get it, but I hope you can catch it. See, not one speck of the blood comes from the mother. All right? So that is why this woman now is considered the harlot or the virtuous woman. She's either harlot or virtuous woman. You say, well, what makes her harlot? Brother Bam said, because she claims to be the original. She claimed, like the church next door over there, claimed to be a bright church. And he's going to hold her accountable for being a bright church. But since she's been pollinated, not by the true doctrines of God, she's considered a harlot. You catch that? What makes them a harlot is their pollination. Who pollinates them? I'm using that word because you'll see where I'm going. I'm going up. We're going to leave it. There's your two trees in the garden. All right. Now watch. And I'm going to leave that. The cherubims and all of that. I'll come to that somewhere down the road. See, there's your tree. There's your woman. There's your sex that brings death. You see, just as sure as there's a sexual desire, there's death left by it. All right. Go on up. And she produced Cain, and that's how the twins come, and all of that. Okay, go on up, go on up, go on up. I've got a couple things here to read. I've got to read them to you. I didn't realize I had all of this stuff. Yeah. Fallen angels follow every message after the message, right? And the fallen angels eventually now finds a bedding ground, which we call seeded. They seed it in the heart of someone, and then that of your own kind begin to garden. That's how a church is formed. And then that church now becomes the that goes out there with her cup of doctrine. She propagates it now from the apostle or the teacher, and then she becomes a life multiplier. Every member that comes in is cells multiply. You get what I'm saying? She's multiplying her cells to produce that body. All right. Go on up, 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 go on up. My goodness, I didn't realize I had all of this stuff here. Yeah, the bright tree. Now listen carefully to see if the doctrine is true. I'm taking it from a different angle. Fruit tree pollination equates to sexual reproduction. This is not mine. This is the encyclopedia. Fruit tree pollination equates, means it's equal to sexual reproduction and fruit development. Without pollination, fruit trees would not bear fruit. After pollination, the pollen germinates once it's transferred from the stamen, which is the male, to the pistil, which is the female. This results in fertilization, and the seed develops. Bees play a huge role in the process. The numerous cultivators of apple, cultivars of apple, are self-sterile or self-unfruitful, meaning they will not bear apple unless they have received pollen from a compatible variety of apple tree or a crab apple tree. Apple blossom grows in clusters. Apple trees grow more apples if a bee or other insects carry complementary pollen lands on the largest blossom on a cluster and the first to open. This is called the king blossom. To ensure proper pollination, matching trees, listen carefully, matching trees, like, you know, matching piece of the masterpiece, matching trees need to blossom and yield pollen at the same time. All right? So the woman has no fruit unless she has been pollinated by another tree. Right? So the serpent was made just like Adam tree, but he was a different species of tree. That pollination is cross-pollination, and God don't want that. Get me? So the prophet, the Bible is bringing it from a botany kind of language, but you can see what he's trying to get over in the language. Follow again now. This is the restoration of the bright tree. He was God's perfect prophet tree. So there's a prophet tree. It's a ministry, you see. Amen. The example tree. The bridegroom tree. Notice all these different is called trees. Right. Amen. Going to say something directly. He is the bridegroom tree. Do you believe it? Congregation says amen. From the Garden of Eden, amen. Then the bridegroom tree without the female, listen, without the female, the bridegroom tree without the female, don't bear fruit. Don't bear fruit. So he's got to have a bride tree. She has got to be born of the same material, the word made flesh in the tree. Hope you get it. It's the same life in this female tree. The bridegroom has it in the bride. Follow now. The mystery of iniquity, do it already, work it, deceivers. You see? All right, now, I know I said a couple of minutes. I'm just hitting it and then I'm closing up. And I'll leave you hanging for the holidays. Stay tuned. Same station. For the mystery of iniquity, do it already, work. Deceivers, you see? So what is the mystery of iniquity? It is deceivers. You see? Deceiving the people off into something. See? Only he, God, that let it will let. Until he, the church, Christ, the bride, the anointed bride, be taken out of the way. Notice the he be taken out of the way, the he. Deception is going to happen until the bride is raptured. You get that? So he's calling the bride he. Until he, the church, he's calling the bride, he's calling the bride he. I want to show you that there must be a distinction. In a certain season, these two trees, one is called the bride, one is called the groom. These two trees are going to come back to one tree, the tree of life. It's not going to have a bridegroom tree and a bride tree anymore. It's going to be one tree. They're going to be, she is going to be he. Amen. Amen. In other words, it's not, no difference. It's the same life. It's the same tree. Now, follow what I want to go. Let's go a little bit further now. Then shall the wicked be revealed at the breaking of the seals at this time. Paul said, okay, now it's going up. I'm not going to read there anymore. Let's see what's in righteousness. Okay. All right. Now, the union. The union would produce an immortal life. Now, this is what I want to get to you here a little bit. Up come Luther, started to grow. What did they do? Organize. The husbandman pruned the branches. Remember I was doing it here? They prune the branch and it goes on. It shoots up another branch. Okay, in the next age. You see, come the Methodist. What did he do? Organize. Just like the mother, prune the branches. Come on into Pentecost. What are you going to do there? Prune the branches. It's done the same thing. Organize. God pruned the branches. Isn't there a bride tree now? Amen. Follow again now. But that life in the heart of that tree has to live. God said, I will restore. Now, I want to get you this. The word restore don't mean reform. So there was no restoration until Malachi 4 comes. So when it says, I will restore what they lost, even though Luther restored Wesley, but there really wasn't restored, they reformed. Luther reformed, Wesley reformed, Pentecost reformed. The only man that restored was Elijah. Don't be misled. That word restore doesn't belong to Luther, doesn't belong to Wesley, it belongs to William Branham, it belongs to Elijah. He restored. So Joel chapter 2 is tied to Malachi 4. To restore the hearts. Now follow again. Come up into Pentecost and so forth. But the life in the heart of the tree, God said, I will restore for the evening light to ripen. Now watch carefully. There is a restore. And then, after restore, there's an evening light. And he calls that light Son of Man light. And so evening light have two meanings. Okay, now, in the middle of the tree stands the heart of God. That's the bride to meet the bridegroom tree. There comes a time when the bride meets the bridegroom tree. They're never met together in a union. Eve was a tree, Adam was a tree, but they never united together. They never got pollinated. She fell and got pollinated from the wrong tree. I'm calling the serpent a tree because you had a ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. She fell. She fell. They never had it. So Adam and Eve never had a union. And when the bride tree came up on the day of Pentecost, if she had gone to perfection and get into that seventh seal and the headstone come, then there would have been an invisible union. And then there would have been a union, but there never was a union. This is the only age we are expecting an invisible union. Amen. Where the bridegroom tree and the bride tree is going to become the same tree. Amen. All right. So now, that's the bride tree to meet the bridegroom tree, just like it was in the Garden of Eden originally, the tree, the two trees. Look at the two trees of life. Know how many trees of life? The two trees of life. But when you went to the woman tree and pollinated, it became death. Right? Take Adam and Eve as a shadow of the two trees that actually stood there, life and death. I'm not making this thing up, friends. Amen. Is this what he's saying? Are you reading his quotes? And that great tree of life, when he come on earth, they chopped it down by a Roman spear and hung it on a Roman tree, a cruel, cursed tree. But in there, he redeemed the bright tree. The bright tree, just one just like him. That Eve tree from the Garden of Eden. See, are you convinced that Eve is that tree then? The tree that had fallen. Eve in the beginning, and Adam walked out with her. How Adam comes with. Now Adam comes with the second Adam, knowing that he had his eyes open to come to receive his Eve. And now, as the prophet said, the prophet David said, be like a tree that planted by the rivers of water. Grant, Lord, that the waters of life will water this bright tree in the last days. There will be where all the denominational branches have been pruned by the husbandman. That's Elijah doing that now. And now the Spirit of God is living anew in the tree? The top of the tree, which come from the heart of the tree. Now, I don't have time, but I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to do it on the board here, and the rest of the quotes we'll read it another day. And from the ripening of the grain, from the ripening of the grain, from all the way back from Luther, all the way down through the ages, it ought to be the fullness of the gospel now. So you have from Luther, all the way back down there to the ripening of the grain. Now the grain is not the tree. The grain is the last product on the tree. Now the tree was cut down, and the tree had to be restored in three stages, or four messengers of death. Okay, so what I want to show you is that when we say bright tree represents the church, the Ephesians church. That's the tree that fell. Get me? And for all seven church ages, what God was doing was going to restore the tree back. So the first four seals, 1 to 4 seals, restores the tree back. The bright tree restores under the first four seals. So the restoration of the bright tree happens under the first four seals. So the first four seals, what the tree was given for, the branches of the tree was given for, it was given the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What did Luther branch give? Eternal life to them in that day. Where's the eternal life? Under the first four seals, which is under the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Hey, Lumi. You remember that now, if you can't remember. 1 to 4. So that's the bright tree. That's the baptism. That all they can offer is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? But under the seventh seal, you have Jesus Christ reproduce. Is that right? And Jesus Christ reproduce become the tree of life, the bridegroom. The bridegroom tree. So under the seventh seal, watch carefully what I want to show you now. This, from here to here, is the fourth seal. The first four seal. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? That puts them in the body, Brother Jones. This represents the bridegroom tree. The seventh seal. And the bridegroom tree and the bride body is united together, and these two trees don't become the bride tree and the bridegroom tree anymore. It just becomes the tree of life. And the tree of life dwelling in the midst of the garden will be Adam and Eve. They are one tree. So the seventh seal here represents the bringing these two together so that she will be him. The ripening of the grain, see? To show the, so the Luther, that's when right through justification, sanctification, Pentecostal age, ought to ripen the bright tree for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christ could be manifested in his church. As how many person? As one person. Him and his wife. Him and his bride. Amen. This is the hour that we live in. So when you talk about the bright tree, you're only talking about the tree that could produce the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you're talking about the seventh seal, God, Christ and the bride, you're only talking about not the bright tree anymore. The bright tree and the groom tree become the same tree. She becomes him. And the fruit of that tree, the fruit of that union is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of that union is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, which is a new body, which is immortal life. Oh, you see, if Adam and Eve, if Eve had waited for Adam, then the spiritual pollination would happen. And they would have had a change in body. You see that? That would have happened. If the early church had not fallen and had gone on to perfection, then that headstone would have come down that they were looking for, and they would have had immortal life. But it didn't. But we in this hour, so this seventh seal here by itself represents the groom tree. The bridegroom come in. This here represents the bright tree. But when you put the two trees together, it becomes the tree of life. Whose life? God's life. Whose fruit? God's fruit. Whose tree? God's tree. Whose body is God? Isn't that right? Jesus is the body of God. The bride is the body of God. Amen. Can I read one more? The evening light rises in the west. What for? To shine upon the world. What? To ripen the fruit. Bring forth the bright tree. Now the bright tree bear the fruit of baptism of the Holy Ghost for seven church ages. Is that right? But there come a place where there's no more fruit of baptism. It's only immortal life. The fruit ripening is your adoption, bringing you into immortal life. Is that right? The word, till it bring forth its fruit in its season. It shall not wither, but it shall bring forth its fruit. David said, in its season. Amen. Same fruit. And what is the fruit for our season? The seven thunders. What is that? It's the rapture. It's the body change. It's our adoption. Let us stand. Amen. I hope it's getting clearer. I hope you begin to see the mark of the beast. I hope you begin to see what pond you're drinking in. What fountain? Is there a Garden of Eden here? Is there a tree of life in the midst of the garden? Amen. Is there a water coming forth from that tree? Amen. Is there a fruit to bear in this tree? Amen. Are you partaking of this fruit? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you until we meet on Friday again. I am believing that on, and you might as well know this, think about it from then, Friday, but let me know by Friday. But I'm thinking that on Wednesday, it's the holiest night, our holiest night is Wednesday. I think that we have a lot of elderly people, we're getting old to that age now, and those of you who are not young, walk like you're old. And have some single sisters. I'm thinking that we just have our service starting at 7 o'clock, and we have our singing and our testimony, have our communion, and then we're able to go home maybe around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then you can spend your Thanksgiving, your New Year's night with your family breaking in, because it's getting to that place. I was thinking about having a little something at home, and I might still have that. Anybody want to come and for fellowship with some coffee or something, we can do that after the service if you like. Think about it, all right? But for far as I'm concerned, I'm thinking about just having a service starting at 7 and some testimonies, and then maybe a short, some vision for the new year, communion, foot washing, and home. Good? Well, I'm so glad that you all are so interested about it. Thank you. God bless Mother Jones.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.